you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All the bears are ready to grind. But the word from people who know is that one of them might be capable of much more. A once-in-a-generation jewel with the talent to match the hype. Been a long time since Chi-Town has introduced something like that.
And now, the starting lineup for your Chicago Bears! From Southern California, at quarterback, 6'1".
You know, when I saw that moment on Hard Knocks, I'm like, God, really? HBO, you're going Bulls intro music, and you're using Ray Clay, really?
You're such a curmudgeon.
And then I thought about our 30th anniversary, 670 The Score bash that we had when we went Bulls intro music. And used our friend Tim Sinclair to introduce everybody on the air staff. And I thought it was so cool.
Because yeah, that was a callback to our day one sign-on. That's why we did that.
Yes, yes. And so, yeah, our day one sign-on borrowed from that. And our 30th year sign-on borrowed from that. So who am I to be a curmudgeon about Hard Knocks and using that?
Because it was cool. And it is cool. And forever and always, it will
Thank
be
you.
Cool to do that. Not necessarily the station, but for Hard Knocks to do it.
Yes.
And especially to have Liev Schreiber, you know, leading into it. And Ray Clay.
Ray Clay, baby.
To voice it for HBO. It was very cool.
There is another figure in Michael Jordan's history who has been, you know, part of that legend and an important
the security
part.
Guard guy?
Yeah, I love that guy. the important part of the of really the arc of Jordan's life and career, and that was his personal trainer, Tim Grover.
Yeah, him too.
So yeah, Tim Grover, you know, an important guy and an interesting guy, and I think it's very interesting that Caleb Williams sought out Tim Grover. And it's one of the pieces of this Take the North podcast interview with Caleb Williams that we're going to bring you right now here on Score Afternoons. It's Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron. This is our Dan Wiederer with Caleb Williams, and let's start with that. Dan talking with Caleb about meeting with Jordan's trainer, the legendary Tim Grover.
Did you have a meeting or relationship with Tim Grover?
I have met with him before, yes.
Okay.
I have met with him.
He obviously knows the MJ Kobe mindset. When have you met with him, and what did you take out of those meetings?
Yeah, so I've met with Tim. I met with Tim over dinner one time, just
here, right?
Yeah, here, trying to figure out what the hell did MJ do? How did he win? How did he become so dominant? And obviously, things are gonna be different because it's a different sport, and trainings are different, and all these other things. But there's always a certain thing that you can always connect to, your sport, whether it's F1, whether it's basketball, whether it's other football players, whether it's whatever case may be. There's always something that you can kind of connect, to your sport and use. So,
what'd you learn from him? About
So obviously, MJ, his mental of like not turning off, his mental of like And this is, I'm trying to think of what he said exactly, but basically, you know, the mental, and it goes back to the competitive stamina, but it's just not turning off. And then, you know, there's a point where Tim said that he didn't like certain things. It's kind of also kind of what Kobe did after his first year. There wasn't certain things that he liked, certain things that he was doing. He wasn't strong enough. He wasn't fast enough. You know, he didn't know the game well enough. And so he, you know, just, it honestly came down to putting in the work. It came down to having that competitive energy about himself that he wasn't good enough at the time, and he was going to get better, and he wanted to get better, and he wanted to be the best. So, you know, he worked at it, kept going, and obviously he ended up getting 6 rings out of it. So, did all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. So Caleb aiming for the very, very top of what professional athletics can be at this young age, at this moment before he's even played it down, where some are having the audacity to call him the greatest quarterback in Bears history. Can you believe some people are saying
before
that?
He's played a regular season game.
Just national voices and doing that kind of goofy thing.
I think what we're legitimately about to reference is far more important than this, but I do see reaction both on the Twitch and the text about the Alan Parsons, the Sirius Open, and Ray Clay and everything, and a number of folks just kind of being too cool to enjoy that.
Oh, really?
For me, as a child of the 80s and 90s and just being in my feelings, every time I would watch the Bulls being introed and the starting lineup and hearing Ray Clay's voice and just the chills that it would send down my spine back then, while the Bulls were the dynasty of dynasties in the sports world through the early and mid 90s. And now getting that same feeling, those same chills down my spine, those same goosebumps, listening to that open, like watching that from the premiere episode of Hard Knocks and hearing that music and recognizing what that's Ray Clay. Like, real talk, I didn't know if Ray Clay was still alive. And so hearing his voice on that, like, man, this is spectacular. Not only do we get the music, not only do you get the Chicago tie-in, but you get Ray Clay, the OG voice, well, maybe not the OG, but the OG serious voice for the Bulls intros and what that meant. I absolutely loved it. So I know a lot of folks out here being too cool for it, man. Like, I don't know what age they are, but for me, as a guy entering my mid-40s, that takes me to a place I enjoy being.
That's one of the things I love most about you. You are not cool. No. I mean, what
not
I mean is, that came
I'm not
out,
too cool?
That came out wrong. Did that
you forgot
come out
the word
wrong?
Too?
Robbie, Tanny, did that come out wrong?
You already clipped cool? it, yeah. It's clipped.
What I meant is, you're comfortable not being too cool for school because you're so not cool. That's what I meant. Y'all, damn it.
That's not what you were going again. For. I don't think that's what you were going for.
You're uncool. It's all right. Like Lester Banks. like Lester Banks.
Score Afternoons has really become a hateful place.
Hasn't it? That didn't take long.
Now I get why Danny has his own show now.
I thought the heavy-handed guy was in New York.
No.
Who's this individual?
I have an extremely light touch. Absolutely.
So I've heard.
But, you know, look, Tim Grover worked with MJ. He worked with Kobe. He worked with a lot of people. And I love that Caleb is shooting out for that aspiration. I want to hear this, though. He's wondering about Dan was from the Chicago Tribune. Dan Wiederer and this full interview will be on the Chicago Tribune's website. And you'll hear it, of course, on Take the North. But when will that superstar jump occur? This includes lessons that he's learned from Tom Brady. Give it a listen.
Hopefully it's game one. Hopefully the superstar breakthrough comes through game one. Obviously it doesn't always happen like that. So, you know, just going to keep working. You know, there's going to be good and bads within this year, maybe even next year. So just making sure that I'm steadfast. I'm staying at a neutral pace. And then, you know, when that happens and, you know, everything fully just kind of slows down and everything's in slow motion, can see everything, know the offense like the back of my hand, I think that's when that time comes.
I ask that because that's obviously the question the whole outside world is trying to learn. And it feels like everybody wants to take a time machine there, but you seem very comfortable in climbing the stairs to get there and almost enjoying the process of climbing the stairs. I'm just curious if you could detail a little bit more about that mindset of leaning in to the process of growing into that star.
Yeah, no, I've been in positions, obviously, where I had to come in as a freshman in both high school and and college and play well. And those are processes throughout the off season and even throughout the season, just, you know, adjusting to the schedule, adjusting to the games, the game speed, adjusting to all these different things, and trying to do my best throughout the, you know, the off season. And then, you know, when it hits, you know, the season time, obviously it's there, it's for real, it's time to go. So, you know, just understanding where I'm at, and then having the people around me to help me and keep growing.
Now that you have been through a spring, summer, most of the training camp, how do you describe the complexity of playing this position on this level?
Yeah, it's tough. Like Tom Brady said, this was at his retirement. He said, and obviously he's won 7 Super Bowls, and he's done all these other things. And he comes back after his retirement and says all these things. And one of the things that I took out of it, and things that since I've met him before, it was the job's hard.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be that way. You know, every team is going to be different each week. And even if you play the same team, obviously they're going to have a lot of similarities. You know, how we play the Lions and the Minnesota and all these other teams. If they keep the same coaches, they're going to have a lot of similarities each year. But they're obviously going to try and, you know, throw a bunch of new things at you, obviously, to try and, you know, create turnovers, win the game, all these other things. So preparing, you know, the right way, getting ready. And then when those moments happen, if it's stuff that I didn't see, if it's stuff that, you know, you may have not seen in the game and didn't react to, you know, well, it's, you know, it's how do you come back from that? And if it, you know, if I didn't see it and I did react well, if I did see it and got us in the right plays or right checks and things like that, you know, all those things work out. So just the job's hard, yeah. To be honest. You know, you get here, I get here around 6 something, a couple hours before meetings, and then you know, you go home and you do a little bit more study in the playbook, the plays, the motions, the, you know, the protections and things like that. So job's hard, and you know, it's going to continue to be hard.
You brought up Brady, so I'll stay there, because I know you've talked about speaking with him about competitive stamina.
Yep.
What does competitive stamina mean in your mind?
Yeah, it's being able to do the same thing over and over, and do it at a high level, and still have that juice and fire about yourself, whether it's in practice or in game. Having that juice, that fire to, you know, lit up under you, whether it's because of things in your past, whether it's just because you're here and you love ball, whether it's, you know, all of the above. You know, just being able to have that fire up under you, all of OTAs, training camp, all the 17 games.
Yeah. Maybe 20.
Whoever. So being able to have that competitive fire, and keep, I guess, adding wood to the fire throughout the, you know, throughout the year.
It's fun having a dude who dreams this big, wants to be that great, and has wanted to be this great from the get-go. The plan that he and his dad have had in place and everything that he's working towards, he is not going to be satisfied, you know, with anything short of the excellence that he aspires to. And that's a hell of a trait.
I mean, he even aspires to excellence in the midst of a metaphor. Like, he really wasn't sure where he was going with that last sentence or two. He's like, I guess I'm adding wood to the fire that burns or something like that. You know, he's trying to deliver the message in the most apt way that he can.
You have been vocal and help put a fine point on this.
Adding wood to the fire throughout the, you know, throughout the year.
How do we feel about that?
That's pretty good.
Are we in supportive?
I mean, fires need wood. That's what I do with a fire when it looks like it's dying down a little bit.
I've got a fire pit. All of a sudden, I have no idea how to use them, but I bought wood.
Dude, that's awesome.
I bought wood. I don't know what to do with it, but I'm told wood is necessary for fire. I have yet to attempt it.
Anthony,
but I got wood available.
You moved out of my neighborhood because I spurned you. You felt like you didn't have any neighbors that loved you.
It took years, but finally, after you shunned me, you mushed my lovely young son in the face, and then finally,
it was a stiff arm. I wasn't trying for the face. I was trying just for the neck. I wanted a stiff arm right in the neck as I went into the Uber for my fake phone call. You know what I mean?
Fake phone call.
It was a real phone call. Anyway, you've left the nest in the South Loop, and you've gone out to the wilds of the suburbs where you have a fire pit. Yes, Ant, you need wood to start a fire. Have you really never started a fire at a fire pit? You've never done this?
No, that's not a lifestyle I've ever led before.
Oh, man.
No, it just seems like another world.
It's very exciting. Let me tell you, when I went to camp, I went to camp when I was like 10 or 11, and the camp was set up kind of cool. There were these clubs that you had to do. These jobs that you had to do during the week, and it culminated with a big event on the weekend.
It's a camp or a commune? I don't know. This sounds kind of regimented.
It actually was kind of a commune. It was sort of like an Israeli kibbutz. It's called a Habonim camp.
Really?
So where everybody did a certain amount of work, and as you like, you know, did your part to help the communal experience happen. So you nailed it. And so we were lumberjacks. I was in the lumberjack club. So all week long.
Did you wear flannel?
I did not. Okay. I did not. But we would go around the forest and find kindling and logs. And sometimes if we found a dead tree, the older ones in the lumberjack club would chop down the tree. And you'd chop it into kindling and we'd bring it back.
How old were you?
And every Saturday night we had a campfire.
What age?
Where we burned the wood that we went and foraged during the week. I was probably 11.
Okay, I guess that's to me like the baseline, the minimum age where I would just trust a kid to just go out with an axe into the wilderness and start.
They gave me a hatchet, so it wasn't a full axe. All I had was a hatchet.
Hatchets seem very dangerous.
I could have killed anybody.
I've never wielded a hatchet.
Hey, no, I absolutely could have killed anybody with that.
I bet you could have.
Yeah, I could, but I didn't. You know why? I was just hunting wood. That's all I was doing.
I don't
think
anybody else can confirm whether or not Spiegs took the hatchet to somebody at this commune.
What I can tell you is that I am a tremendous fire builder. I have outstanding skills, and if you need my help coming out to the burbs, even though I shunned you once in the South Loop, I'd be happy to come out to the burbs.
Are you a TP guy? TP fire? What type of fire are we talking
100%
about?
100% TP.
Okay, that's how you have to do it.
TP is the way to do it. And you gather some of that small wood, the smallest that you can right there, maybe a little straw if you've got some straw, a little something to give it that start, and you get the TP going. Absolutely.
This kind of feels like an episode of Survivor, just waiting to see who's going to occupy Score Afternoons with you moving forward. So I think those same skills.
Core Survivor?
Right. Oh. Yeah, I mean, those same skills could be applied. I mean, I've watched Survivor a good bit. My wife is a huge fan. My son has begun watching it with her as well. And like every other episode of Survivor, I see somebody struggling to start a fire and they're shivering.
Right.
And they're trying to build some sort of a fortress or something in the middle of nowhere.
I'll tell you what, you know what I think is weird is that Robbie's been walking around with a t-shirt that he fashioned into underwear and that's all he's wearing. Right. He's been doing that for like 6 days.
I've been training just for this moment.
Yeah.
Score Survivor Draft. I'm going Dan Bernstein. Right. That's my first.
It's going to replace Spiegel Idol. It's going to be Spiegel Survivor.
First, he thought it was Score Naked and Afraid. I'm like, no, youngster. Put some clothes
at
on,
least
please.
Fasten a t-shirt around your waist.
You get naked, then we get afraid. Is usually how that works.
Yeah.
But all right, I'll come out.
I'm guessing
house
Caleb probably can't start a fire.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. We were on vacation with me and my wife and my brother and his wife, and we had a competition to see who could start a fire faster. We like tied string across the fire.
Oh, that's a lot of fun, huh, folks?
You know, we vacation in my family. We bring no supplies. We sleep outdoors.
Supplies! Yeah.
We just challenge each other to go forage for sustenance and start fires.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
She speaks with a bayonet and a machete.
So you don't want to come on vacation with me, Ted?
I gotta say, I don't love that. I love a good fire on vacation,
the
but
fire
a competition? No.
Come on, man.
Is that the radio guy in you? You gotta always be competing and, you know. Oh my gosh.
Speedy's got a bandana, some eye black, like 3 days into the vacation.
Yeah. I'm wearing Robbie's t-shirt around my waist, fashioned as some underwear.
It was like, Daddy, you promised us central air. Like, no, son. Put some hair on your chest.
That's right. Score Survivor. The only man left gets to host afternoons.
We're going to have to keep pounding wood. I guess the word's chopping wood or the phrase is chopping wood.
That's right. That's right. Oh, Phil Emery didn't know.
Is that what that was from?
Anyway, so what I was trying to get to.
What were you trying to get?
That you think Caleb Williams is behind Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. Oh, is that where we're going with this?
That's
yes,
where I was going.
I do.
Of the Washington Commanders.
Right.
Because I don't think anybody wants to hear that Caleb Williams is behind
apparently
any other rookie quarterback. Right? Are you getting some reaction on that?
I mean, surprise, I suppose. Yeah, I don't spend enough time on social to get like the to feel the full heat of the reaction. But yeah, I'd say specifically in the mechanics of quarterback play. Do we want to dive into this now? Do we need to take a break and come back and stick with this?
Yeah, let's take a break and come back to it.
All right,
okay, because yeah. I want to. I'm nothing if not disciplined as a radio professional. So we will take a break and we'll get back into this. I want to know
/ Survivor contestant.
I want to know why Anthony Heron thinks Caleb Williams is behind Jaden Daniels with something. It's difficult for me to wrap my head around. Then a little bit later, we've found our cause. We'll get there on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
By comparison to Jaden Daniels, I was talking about this on the radio in Chicago this week.
Oh, dig yourself.
Handsome television star you can see on Fox talking football, Anthony Heron.
I misphrased it. I should have said on my show. That's what I should have said.
It's implied.
I was talking about it on my show.
Don't worry.
This week on the Chicago radio.
It's thoroughly implied.
I wish I would have thought to say that. I didn't think of that in the moment. Well, I wish I would have thought of that.
You didn't have the context.
I was talking on my show during the weekend.
I wouldn't have been offended. I'm too old for that. Cassie Carlson wasn't offended. Right?
No, not. I mean, she hasn't expressed being offended. I don't know, though.
Yeah.
Could be.
But you were talking there on the TV show, as you were talking last week on the radio show.
My TV show.
But now you should talk about it now on your radio show,
right.
Anthony Heron. That Caleb Williams is behind Jaden Daniels at something. Expound, please.
So Jaden Daniels has just played a lot more football than Caleb has. You know, Caleb is just a few years removed from high school football. And he is immensely gifted as a quarterback, as a communicator. I mean, how about that metaphor with the whole fire starting thing? I mean, he's just a very comfortable and impressive young guy.
And as a leader, he seems to not, you know, to not be behind many in terms
right.
of those.
And
kind of
I think his leadership style, I would say, probably speaks to a lot of the veterans in that locker room, where he's not coming in trying to grab, you know, folks by the throat right off the jump. He's just kind of being who he is. He's asking advice of folks while also at times being demanding of those around him as well. So I like everything I'm seeing from Caleb Williams. But in evaluation between Caleb and Jaden Daniels, there's very little that I've seen so far through the preseason that surprises me, because I was talking to the midday guys. I was even talking to, I'm pretty sure, you guys about it at some point heading into the draft here, that between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, Jaden is the player who's more refined in his skills. Jaden Daniels is the guy who shows more maturity as a quarterback. So all the questions that were there about the maturity of Caleb off the field, that never concerned me. The maturity of Caleb's game is what I've continued to be curious about. How fast he'll get to the point where just between the white lines, the mechanics of playing quarterback, of reading the field, getting the ball out of your hands on time and in rhythm.
Are you talking about in the pocket specifically?
Specifically in the pocket.
So going through progressions. And
yes, and going through your progressions, hitting the third step and just cutting it loose as a point guard, as a true distributor, while also still having the ability to do some of those magical things beyond the X's and O's, to be able to operate outside the confines of the play structure. He does that at a really high level. He did that, the majority of his highlights in the preseason were that, but we did see positive signs from within the pocket as well. So that was impressive.
So let me ask you about that, because we have seen some stuff in the pocket. I think in the first game when he hits DJ Moore
Third and 12.
Third and 12, and he goes through progressions and comes back to DJ, and we find out he kind of waited on that and baited the DB to get leave him that opening, right? So we have seen some moments of that.
Yeah, I like the signs we've seen of that, but by comparison to Jaden Daniels, Jaden Daniels is in structure and in rhythm, snap after snap after snap, and in the midst of that, he's also spotting the football. He's also passing the football to areas where his pass receivers have an opportunity to make something happen after the catch. So that refinement of his game from within the pocket wasn't there through the first couple of years that Jaden Daniels was at Arizona State. That's just come over thousands of hours of time on task of playing the game for longer and longer where, yes, just your natural God-given physical abilities are going to be part of that. But to be able to execute it with the refinement that Jaden Daniels does. By comparison, the preseason of Jaden Daniels looks like a refined quarterback. The preseason of Caleb Williams looks like a playmaking quarterback who has the potential to become more refined. So, I mean, you know, I like Caleb's game. I viewed him and still do as the better long-term prospect. But as far as being a refined quarterback, Jaden Daniels is the more refined quarterback right now.
All right. I think I can work with that. I think I can live with that because it doesn't mean that in terms of refinement and being able to hit those layups and be the point guard and go back and on three steps do the thing, it doesn't mean he's not going to be good enough to get those things done this year.
Not at all.
Because I do want him to be able to do that stuff this year. I think the Bears are a team that will need him to do that stuff.
Well, certainly benefit from him doing it.
Okay, so that's one thing. The other thing is that sometimes when you think, and you hear, well, this guy's a good playmaker off of structure. Well, okay, well, we had that with Justin, or we've seen that with others who then don't develop. The way that he makes plays off of structure is still very different than the way, say, Justin did make plays off of structure. Because that's where you get into the idea of Caleb when he's scrambling, looking to throw at all costs. He's not looking to run. He will run as a last resort, or he will run if the seas part, like he said about the third down run. But he is scrambling and buying time in order to throw. And so I'm more excited about his kind of playmaking off of structure than I would be over another kind of quarterback's playmaking off of structure.
And even within Justin, when Justin would scramble to throw, Justin's just not as intuitive a playmaker as Caleb. As Justin would scramble to throw, scramble looking to pass, the ability to, you know, like one of the top highlights of the preseason from anyone in the preseason, Caleb, you know, extending the play, reverse pivots out, running left. And the same situation for Justin Fields, just for the sake of the continued comparison here. Justin, in trying to fit that ball into Roma Dunze that Caleb throws up the left sideline, Justin would have likely put a more flat trajectory on the football and perhaps had pristine accuracy, because Justin Fields on the move is remarkably accurate while he's throwing to either direction, but especially left. He had some great highlights during his Bears career as a passer rolling left, but the trajectory of the football from Justin would have likely been flatter with more force and tried to maybe fit it over the ear of the defender. That's what we saw throughout the career of Justin Fields, whereas Caleb has that sort of intuitive playmaking ability to know where to put it as Roma Dunze is beginning, is preparing to head in that direction. And Caleb, before his body is in motion, has made that decision. And so the process begins to get the information from his brain out through his right arm and have the presence of mind to sort of calm himself to throw that teardrop, to throw the touch pass and be able to spot throw it to where he's confident his teammate will end up. That's an intuitive style of playmaking that Justin never showcased, even when he was trying to run to pass. It's a different brand of being able to intuitively spot the football into the future where you know your teammate's going to end up.
I find these kind of conversations where we're comparing our experience and knowledge base of having just dissected 3 years of Justin with dissecting this training camp of Caleb's, I find them to be helpful. And I think they can be done without taking shots at Justin, because it doesn't have to be that way.
To try and describe, this looks different because of this.
And
yes,
this
they're
is
both
why.
Mobile,
yes.
And they both extend the play. They can both improvise. Caleb does it differently than Justin, and here's how.
Yeah, I think that's instructive, and it feels more relatable, frankly, than comparing Caleb with the quarterbacks that he's emulating because they have achieved levels of success that are absurd to discuss. Even when we talk about Stafford or Aaron Rodgers, and those are his two guys, we talk about how that's what he's going for, and oh, it looks like this. Or you talk about Mahomes or anything like that. Then sometimes you will get the knee-jerk pushback from listeners, or we'll get the knee-jerk pushback of, you know, people like Sean King, who said, you know, who talked about it with the Midday Show last week in Vegas. Those kinds of things are more prone to happen if you're comparing to the elites just because something looks like it. But for our eyes and our viewers, of football that we have in our listenership, I think they can very much relate to what we've just witnessed.
And my concern for whether or not feeling the necessity for Caleb to continue developing within structure is because so much of what he was excellent at in college is beyond the X's and O's, is beyond the structure, the design of the play. I was just talking to Lincoln Riley about this a few weeks ago in Indianapolis, that now his quarterback he's going to have at USC this season, Miller Moss, the offense is going to be a lot more on time and in rhythm with this quarterback versus what it was with his last quarterback. It doesn't mean what Caleb did wasn't special and exceptional and highly productive and successful, but to be able to be on time and in rhythm, that matters just in the whole scope of a successful offense. And Patrick Mahomes has shown he is capable of that in addition to all these beyond the script, X's and O's, improvisational wizard type of moments that we've seen more of that from Caleb than the moments that are just within the structure of the play.
And that stuff, that pocket of what a quarterback is expected to do, of the stuff that you're talking about with the refinement, that's what seems to be nearly impossible to scout. This, in terms of, you can scout the work ethic, you can scout the character of somebody, and you can scout their intelligence in a testing framework under any number of different ways. Yeah. But then to see their ability to actually do it or not within the NFL construct with that level of talent going on and the bullets firing, as it were, that does not seem very, very scoutable. And this is why NFL teams screw up on their quarterback picks all the time.
And that's where the more time they spend playing in high school and in college, and then it does enhance the evaluation process that much more. Still makes it imperfect.
Sure.
But the amount of football that gets played before you get to the NFL matters so much. And even just last week, seeing the discussion play out where Tom Brady has one quote about how basically saying quarterbacks should sit and it helps their development. And then you have Joe Burrow just a couple of days before that said, I don't know why they want to sit quarterbacks. Everybody, you need to get the guys on the field and who needs competition early on and say we're splitting reps in camp. Get them out there, get them the reps, get them the work, and that will improve them as quickly as possible. And Tom Brady, probably the all-time great. Joe Burrow, one of the greatest going right now. Two polar opposite opinions on how quarterbacks should be developed. And Tom obviously coming from a different generation and a different path towards greatness that he took that suited him, and Joe Burrow's got his path that suited him. We know Caleb is playing right away.
Hey, man, I think Jason Hayward said it best, that there's more than one way to skin a cat. No offense to the cat. You know what I mean?
He added that part in.
He did, because Jason Hayward is a respectful man.
Yeah,
he respects cats, and he'll skin them two different ways. To show you his point.
There's always more than one way to skin a cat. No offense to the cat.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's so respectful. It's so kind to the cat population.
Right. But, what else but
he'll
skin?
He'll skin it twice.
Why did it have to be cats in this metaphor that are getting skinned?
Oh, man. Because they're stupid, evil animals that should never be kept as pets.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Score afternoons. We're evil around here.
The anti-cat crowd.
Oh, man, I hate cats. But that's not why you call. Look, Score Afternoons, we've found our cause. We need to stand up for someone's rights. We're afraid this could be triggering to some of you out there.
And hates cats.
Not cats.
Is that what he said?
No.
I
do hate cats. I do hate cats.
Oh, it's cans.
You know,
cans.
Cats.
That's what it
cats.
Was.
It was
he
cats.
Hates cans.
Oh, Anthony Herron is a delight. We'll explain our cause next on Score Afternoons. Mark Grody, top of the hour with a Bears report.
Why would you think I'd do that?
Why? Why? How about because this is the most important thing to ever happen in the history of the world? How about that?
The Chicago Sky are a really good organization. They've won WNBA titles before. They have a really interesting team. Kennedy Carter and Angel Reese, and They play right there in my neighborhood, your old neighborhood, Deserter, Anthony Herron.
And, old stomping grounds,
yeah,
as they say.
Yeah. And now they have a new mascot. It's Score Afternoons here. Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron with you. Mark Grody at the top of the hour. Chicago Sky have a new mascot.
And now, Scott Town, I need us to give it up for Cook County President Brett Winkle!
It'd be funny if Toni Preckwinkle was the new Sky mascot, but she's not. She's not.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. Okay. Unless she's inside the costume of Sky, with an E, the lioness. Sky the lioness is the new Sky mascot, wearing that Skytown jersey, this clearly, female lion, that's why they call her a lioness, is posing in front of the lions at the Art Institute of Chicago and seems to be a delightful and thoroughly acceptable, fun new mascot. Congratulations to the Sky.
Congratulations.
The problem is, because of this mascot coming to town, Sky Guy, Sky Guy, who has been the mascot since 2006, has been displaced.
She's taken guy jobs?
Sky Guy has been victimized by this and now has no job. And I, who did not know that Sky Guy existed before today, have found myself passionate about, as described, the Sky Guy, this pale blue rocketeer. How would we describe Sky Guy? I haven't got a chance to look at him now.
If you're familiar with The Simpsons, he's got a real Duffman energy, and I mean that in the most positive way possible.
Hey, it's Duffman, a guy in a costume that creates awareness of Duff.
So Sky Guy does look a lot like Duffman. He's got an enormous face.
Duffman is thrusting in the direction of the problem.
Especially the chin.
Yeah, chin, right?
The world's chin. Most massive chin.
You're checking out Sky Guy. It's a huge chin. I mean, you could ask yourself, why was Sky Guy ever the mascot in the first place? You could ask yourself that if you wanted to.
I'm guessing Sky Guy failed up. That was probably an opportunity he didn't earn. Probably got it through family lineage or some favor being done by someone.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago politics, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sky Guy didn't earn
that. Was Sky Guy celebrated at the parade and the rally when everybody else was? I don't think so. But my goodness, what happened to Sky? What is going to happen to Sky Guy? And our friends at Odyssey, at WBBM Radio, they reached out to the Sky and asked what would happen to Sky Guy. And in a statement, Chicago Sky Chief Marketing Officer Tanya Holodner said they, quote, appreciate the Sky Guy for his years of service and commitment to sharing his expertise with Sky. So Sky, the new lioness, has been hired. And Sky Guy, I mean, that's pretty cool that Sky Guy...
He's like the special advisor now. He's like the mentor. Right. To Sky.
He's stuck around.
A mascot emeritus.
Yes. And he was willing to hang around and teach Sky. That's awesome. A lot of veteran quarterbacks like Brett Favre not willing to teach Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Sky Guy willing to stick around is really just kind of a glorified a mascot, if you will.
And he's not taking that personal at all. You know, he's just going to the front office and he's going to hang with Sky.
That's why he's our guy. I mean, I love Sky Guy, and I feel like maybe radio could be his future. Maybe Score Afternoons.
What was your favorite Sky Guy moment?
Oh, man.
From over the years.
It's got to be the dunk I watched him do earlier today when I discovered he existed. I think that's my favorite moment. Tanny, what's your favorite Sky Guy moment?
Well, you took mine, you know. This is why we should be talking things through in the meeting, you know, because that was my favorite moment also. But I think it just speaks to the moment, really. That dunk was just a terrific dunk, you know.
Thank you for feeling it. Robbie, did you have a favorite moment of Sky Guy?
Well, it's crazy. You actually stole my favorite moment as well. Yeah. So, but it's so amazing. Like, I'm going to miss Sky Guy.
Yeah, I'm going to miss him too.
I'm not.
I'm not
going to miss Sky Guy at all.
So your favorite moment, Ant, being today when you fired or set up to mascot heaven?
Sky Guy going to mascot heaven is the best thing that's ever happened.
See, I thought we were getting a Goodfellas treatment today for Sky Guy, but apparently not.
That's really a challenge for someone who doesn't talk. You know, we tried, folks.
We're unfamiliar with any audio history whatsoever for Sky Guy.
Has anyone ever requested an interview with Sky Guy? Can we be the first?
Efforting Sky Guy.
I just asked Shane for his contact info. He got Ice Cube. I'll get Sky Guy.
Yeah, put Sky Guy in the Slack. Let all the other producers know we're chasing Sky Guy.
That is how you Wally Pip Shane right there. If you get Sky Guy, I guess it's got to be over like the next hour. But I mean, if it happens,
I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be hard to look Sky, the lioness, in the face for all the times that I go to games and watch games on TV. It's gonna be hard. I'm gonna be sad for Sky Guy as I do it.
Yeah, I'm really not.
She has requested that you do not look at her, actually, so that's not going to be a problem. That's also in the press release.
My God.
The man's pension has been mismanaged. Oh, yeah.
Objection. That party-hardy attitude is a registered trademark of the Duff Corporation.
Whatever happened to fair use?
A texter said that there was a movement to get rid of Sky Guy. That he's a pretty out-of-touch character for women's sports. That's amazing. If that's the case, then really, I mean, I don't like seeing mascots just be tossed out to pasture, you know? Just disenfranchised. It's not his fault that he was a terrible stereotype that did not fit women's professional sports whatsoever. Is that Sky Guy's fault inherently?
Sky Guy is just a product of his time, you know?
That's all he is.
What do you get into?
Yeah.
When do we bring this petition to bring him back? Are we trying to bring Sky Guy back?
I don't think so. Now that the more I think about it.
Then what's our cause? What are we doing this for?
I don't know. We might not have a cause.
I was reading this morning, Angel Reese, 3 consecutive games, 20 plus rebounds. I find that far more impressive than Sky Guy.
Oh, it is more impressive.
Yeah.
No, she's
now, Sky the Lioness, I can neither confirm nor deny. I haven't met her yet. I haven't seen her work. She might be fantastic.
Angel Reese is an absolute badass. And the fact that she now has a Reese's sponsorship, did you see this?
I did not see
she
that.
She has a Reese's sponsorship, and there are she has apparel with Reese's, like Reese's Pieces is like the name of the apparel and the brand of the apparel. That is a natural endorsement that had been waiting to happen, and now it has happened.
I got corrected in the commercial of a broadcast one time because as a Chicagoan, I kept calling Reese's. In my house, we grew up calling them Reese's cups.
Yeah.
And just for a sponsorship thing on the air, it was like the Reese's go for two moment. And I'm calling it the Reese's go for two moment. And we go to commercial break, producer gets mad. He's like, well, you know you're saying Reese's.
Oh, man.
Right?
I did that. Yeah. I did that myself.
Of course I am. What do you want me to say? It's the Reese's go for two moment. He's like, no.
By the way, the Reese's Pieces, M&M's turned down the opportunity to be in E.T. the movie. They tried to get M&M's, and M&M's said no, so they went with Reese's Pieces.
And they were never heard from again.
M&M's.
I don't know whatever happened to M&M's after passing on that movie.
Falling on hard times. Huh? Wow, the anti-Sky Guy crowd is really coming out now via text.
Finally have a voice.
I didn't realize he was so loathed. It's amazing.
Look at him.
It's a good thing we canceled this cause before we started it.
I think it's right. I think, you know what we did? We crowdsourced it. Should we care as much about Sky Guy's demise? And the resounding response is no. No. Sky Guy may be the worst mascot ever, says a texter. Sky Guy used to have a white face. They later changed it to a mask. That is unbelievable. It's very, very sad for Sky Guy. But maybe it was time that Sky Guy moved on. All right. Well, we're still looking for a cause. It's a very small window here for Score Afternoons to find a cause. We have hopefully just until the end
of the week. 2 more weeks?
No.
You said earlier it was 2 weeks.
Until the end of this week.
I was told two
Anthony,
weeks.
I'm hoping that we have a new show to announce at some point, and that
in 2 weeks.
At the end, I don't know, man.
Just make your decision already, all right?
All right. Please
speak on Sky Guy.
I'll tell you who's out now. Sky Guy is out.
Okay,
out now. See if Sky the Lioness has any time.
Barrett Sports Media just reported that. Yeah.
Have they written about Breakfast Ball yet? I'll be reading that during the break. Mark Grody coming up on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.